All right, everybody. It's not even 1 o'clock. This show finishes early. It's good. I'm here. James is here.
I've just eaten our sponsor.
Okay, yeah. Well, McCoy's Wonderful Crisps. Gav's here.
I am.
All right. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
it's good. I think they'll like it.
And yeah. Wally Downs was superb.
Yeah. One of the greatest stories we've ever had on River Nile.
Yeah, he was good. Anything else good in that?
I'll tell you what's great about TalkSport today.
What?
And it brings down the really question of, do you do the right thing or do you not? Do you take money from your parents' pockets and go and buy Panini stickers or not? The door to the vending machine is open.
All right, we're going
right,
there
let's
now.
Let's go.
Cheers, guys.
Enjoy the warm-up.
The Walnuts are live!
Just generally think I got the wrong day, really. But look, welcome to the warm-up on TalkSport. I'm Max Rushton, in association with McCoy's. It's not on the Saturday you get given a piece of paper to read stuff out, which is great. On the day, does Johnny read this, Gav? He doesn't. There's no way he reads that, is he?
He gets through it in about, 1 or 2 hours.
Oh, really? Okay. But speaking very fast.
Yeah.
He's saying he goes off script. Does. Although the boss said, look, last week it was a shambles. Just read this out. It's what he said to me, James. Honestly,
why just stop at the boss?
Yeah,
so everyone thinks.
Right, hang on. On the day Louis van Gaal wakes up in the knowledge that his Manchester United side are the early season pace set. There's a lot of sport in this show, James, isn't there? In the Premier League, following last night's win at Villa Park, the most unconvincing back-to-back victories at the start of a season of all time. Spurs will be aiming to get their Premier League campaign going against Stoke at White Hart Lane. You can keep up to date with that game and the rest of the afternoon's action in Matchday Live right here on TalkSport. Warming up alongside me this morning is the man with the definitive word on referees, Gavin the Woodman Woods. Hello, Gavin.
Morning, Max. Morning, James.
Morning, Gavin.
And from Sabotage Times, it's the Wolf of Wall Street, James Brown.
Wardour Street.
Wardour Street.
Well, it says Wall on here.
Oh, no.
This is the thing, right? Let's be honest about this.
That's like, if there was a film, what would you be?
What would I be?
Because I haven't taken that. I haven't said I am the Wolf. I haven't even seen
because
it.
Because they said, because you rock in at like 1 minute to 11.
Yeah,
they
I haven't
said,
seen that film.
They said,
you have not seen it?
No, my friends who I used to do bad things with said, don't. It could lead to relapse.
Do you know what happens in the Wolf of Wall Street?
Well, I've seen the clips, you know.
And does that is that in any way replicate your previous life?
Yeah, my friend said to me, don't. It's very similar to what it was like at Loaded. It was not going to be good
for
you.
Did you, like, throw small people around, you know, for games?
I can't discuss that. I'll tell you when we're off.
There are court cases pending. There are court cases pending.
Genuinely, have you not allowed to talk about some of the things? Not because it's taste and decency, but
no, but mainly taste, really? Political correctness now. Times have changed.
They have. Have you changed with them? Would you say you're emancipated?
I've got a great story about what you just asked me about before, but I don't. I'll run it by the producer when we're on.
I don't want to
because it's unfair. If the guy's listening, it's not fair on the little guy.
Were you handcuffed to them? You know they do that on stag do's, don't they?
They do.
It's a disappointing time for you. No?
No,
you don't want to carry on with this. Are you sure?
Morning, Max.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Once you Pulp Fiction when they open the briefcase.
Yeah, and you find out what it is.
Beautiful gleaming light comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
If I open the briefcase, mention loaded, just like there's lots of horrible noise.
Have you written a book?
No.
I've been trying to get him
I've
to.
Written the thanks to list many times.
Okay. And why wouldn't you write a book about it?
I should do, I guess.
Do it like
I
a guess. Footballer does and just get some journalist to ring you up for 10 minutes and then you get like a 500-page...
He could ring himself up. He is a journalist.
No,
it doesn't work like that. You need a ghost.
Have you written a book?
No, because if I wrote an autobiography, I mean, generally, you know, it's got to be rags to riches and mine would just be the moderately comfortable to still moderately comfortable.
To some nice clothes.
I mean, just... Nothing interesting has happened to me.
I was talking about this with one of your colleagues on Sky, with a guy yesterday, a mate of mine, Elliot, and he was saying, have you read Jeff Stelling's book? And I went, yeah, because he was talking about how he goes to the services to do all the prep, so nobody can bother him, he's got no Wi-Fi, he reads the papers.
In a service station?
Yeah, Jeff Stelling goes to services down, I think Hook Services, or somewhere down on the way towards Southampton.
Yeah.
That's where he does all his research.
Oh, okay.
And I said, yeah, did you read that in the book? He said, yeah. And then I said, there's not much else in that book, is there? And he goes,
Not really.
He's just really ordinary.
But of all the places, if you're as famous as Jeff, you know, where all human life is at, that's one of the best things about a service station, is that the whole of society have to go there.
Yes.
You know, there aren't that many. That and airports.
But have you ever seen a famous person at a services? I've only seen one.
Who?
Years and years and years ago, like when I was about 18, I saw Seb Coe in a phone box next to me, in the phone box I was in at services. And what I remember is it was near Loughborough, where I don't know if he was still studying there, must he was running or whatever, whether he just trained there. But he had frayed jeans. His jeans were all tassly off the bottom over his trainers.
Was that a fashion statement of that time?
At the time, a lot of the...
I saw Steve Redgrave in a garage once, in what was blatantly a free Jaguar.
We were doing
Should we do this? Who have you met in a garage on of services?
On the vastly inferior Sunday warm up that me and Barry do.
It's not inferior. It's just quieter.
It is quieter. Isn't
You're
it?
Cheating on Barry.
I am. Cheating
Barry's
on
got
Barry.
A beautiful voice.
He's got a lovely voice. He's not as fat as he sounds. He really is. He sounds enormously fat, but
we didn't say fat.
But we were doing the phone in. As a footballer, ever done you a favour? And a bloke said he ran out of petrol. And he didn't meet them at the garage, but so he was trying to push his car, and then he looked down and he looked up, and pushing the back of his Ford Sierra was David Platt.
What?
It was just the best, just the best moment in the world. But yeah, I'm happy to do. Have you ever met a footballer or who famous have you met at a service station?
At services, because it's not the. Where do famous people get their
you're
petrol?
You're right. It is a place where everyone has
so
to go.
So if I was Jeff Stelling, I wouldn't do my research. You know, at home, you're not going to get bothered.
Maybe he's hungry for attention.
Or a Ginster's. I mean, it's one of the two, isn't it? I did at Netto services on the M4. I was in the toilet once. And then on the wall
it said...
No, it's all right.
Was it a moment of madness? No.
It wasn't.
Did you meet...
Well-known toilet.
No, but on the wall it had a plaque and it said, winner, second best toilets. At the Service Station Awards.
Second best.
And I thought, that is an award ceremony I want to go to.
Yeah.
You know?
But
is there a split screen when they go in the nominations for the best toilets? Scotch Corner, Grantham,
but also,
Heston.
If you come second, that's not winning.
That's right.
When they have the boat race or the Wimbledon final, like the guy loses or the woman loses in the final doesn't go, winner, second place.
No, they get
Wimbledon.
A plate, though. They get a plate.
It's called runner-up.
Okay, so
or loser.
They weren't bad toilets. All right, listen, just there are a couple of things I need to check with you, okay? Because I used to be busy on a Saturday morning.
Where's Johnny? It's so relaxing to have a conversation.
This is an issue. Point two on my little... I've written a list of four things. Mm. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so one, I've only ever heard the last 20 minutes of this show.
Okay.
Okay, so...
So have we.
So I have no idea what happens before
the first
then.
1 hour 40 is just Johnny doing the intro.
How would you explain? Is that how you describe this show? Because I want it to. I don't want to veer from its roots too much.
It's time to do a voice.
Yeah.
And
it's
an
like Phil Spector's wall of sound. It's like Johnny Vaughan's wall of noise. When we talk to the guest today, just talk over him.
Is he a pleasure?
Ask him a question, then answer it.
Is he a pleasure to work with?
And then when he's...
Of course he
Vaughan,
is.
Vaughan.
Of course
you like
he is.
Vaughan. You know, or do you see this as an opportunity?
This is, for me, this is relaxing having you here.
James is all smiley.
Everyone is.
I've got point two here.
Everyone's
right?
Really happy.
I've got point two here, which is I'm only used to working like maximum 2 days in a row.
Mm.
Okay. And I'm doing today and then tomorrow. And the haters will be devastated. I'm Alan Brazil all next week.
You are going to have to bulk up for that.
Yes.
You really am.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, get some ketchup to paint my face. But I need to conserve energy today.
Yes.
Right? And Johnny is very on. And those two, I'm worried about getting in the red zone. So I just wonder if you...
You don't want to run out of energy for tomorrow.
I don't, really. This is meaningless for me today. This is just, you know, this is just... filling a slot. You know?
Couldn't you put Barry up front tomorrow and you play more of a supporting
There's
role?
There's a good idea.
I could be a false nine and Barry could lead it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we do that? Barry to start the show tomorrow.
Give Barry your stuff to read.
Oh, yeah. Whenever we get a read with the sponsors, you know, for example, the nice people of McCoy sponsor us, I always try and get Barry to read that because you can see he's got a little bit, whereas none of us have any, we've sold our souls. We know that. But Barry still has some integrity as a journalist. Who's texting you, James?
Do you want to know?
Yeah, let's find out. Come on.
It's Barry.
Is it? What's he saying?
He says, I have no integrity. I work for The Guardian.
Does he not? It's not as bad. My dad's ringing me. Hang on.
James has got
Seriously.
A lo-fi phone
Seriously.
Like mine.
It's actually the boss.
Hello, Dad. Dad?
Morning, Matt.
Yeah, Dad. Yep. Dad, yeah, I didn't tell you this, but I'm on TalkSport at the moment as well.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, bye.
No, it's all right. If there's anything important or... I didn't plan this. Nothing important?
I think you've just gone out of radio contact. But oh, really? Have a good show.
Thanks very much. He was probably just checking why I wasn't on Soccer AM, to be honest.
You're lucky he didn't say anything embarrassing.
No, you're right. Right, okay, look, if you want to join in on this show, 81089,
Phone in. We'll put you on.
Yeah, why not? Could you not take them normally? If you have anything to say about anything, 08717 223344. First caller, James, will cook dinner for you at your house on a mutually agreed date.
While dancing.
I will.
You will. What will you make?
Depends how good looking they are.
Okay. Well,
if he's like great looking,
phone us.
I'll just bring crisps.
We're not doing tweet as a picture because that could go down a very dangerous road.
Yes.
If you want to talk to us about anything at all, 08717 223344. Text 81089. You can tweet at Max Rushton or at
James James Brown
or at Woodman Gav or at TS Warmup.
Well, tweet anyone and we'll just find it.
Just tweet each other.
All right, let's have a break. Talk Sport. Hello, this is the warm-up on TalkSport. Hang on a sec. With McCoy's. Real bold flavours for real bold fans. Max Rushton here because Johnny Vaughan is away. James and Gav, we did 10 minutes. Let's have a debrief. It's important, you know, to continually review how well we're doing.
They were very good enough to send us a box of crisps.
Masses of boxes. Mm.
Well, I'm in the face of McCoy's. I played in McCoy's, yeah.
Wow.
Are you really the face of McCoy's?
Yeah. Yeah, I spent 3 days in Portsmouth. It was freezing. Filming an advert.
What, is that where they're based?
That's where we were for those 3 days.
Is that the
and
real
the great
McCoy's?
Thing was, they had, I'm not allowed to say this, I'm sure I am, they had like the hero crisp. So when I picked the crisp out of the packet, it wasn't just the one you were supposed to be biting.
Yeah.
There was a girl who had a Tupperware box with like 5 crisps in it, and she would run up and hand me one of the perfect McCoy's, and then I would go to put it in my mouth, and then I would... not be able to eat it because they
say, don't bite it.
Exactly. Yeah.
They probably sprayed it with glue to keep it perfect.
That's a crisp
wrangler.
All right, so we asked you to call and then for no reason we're doing famous people you've met in a petrol station. Somehow we have to bring it back to sport. Andy is an Ipswich fan. Carolina is a Man United fan. Andy, how are you?
Yeah, morning, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, we're
morning,
super, Andy. Thanks. Tell us who you met and we'll write a list and at the end of the show we'll read the list out and then we'll go home.
Well, it's a bit of a curveball, guys. Moving away from sport completely. Ronnie Corbett.
The professional golfer, Ronnie Corbett.
Yeah.
Tell us the story, Andy.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a strange one, really. I'm actually a police officer. I work out in Norfolk, and we had to do this a bit of a strange job where we had to go to Bristol and back one night in the middle of the night, literally overnight. So I'm at a petrol station, queuing up to pay for my petrol, and my colleague's still filling up in the forecourt, and he's gesturing to me, like, frantically, turn round. I'm turning round. Of course, not being rude or anything, I turned round, couldn't see anybody. but glanced down a couple of feet, and there's this little guy in a flat cap, Ronnie Corbett.
Was he filling his car himself?
Well, no, I think his chauffeur was filling up. He was doing the same as me. He was waiting for it to be filled, waiting to pay. And he sort of looked at me and gave it a bit of... evening officer, because I was wearing a uniform and that, so and we just got chatting. It's a fantastic guy, but it was a real strange, like, nobody believed us back at the next day, you know. What, guess who we met at 3 o'clock in the morning near Bristol? Ronnie Corbett.
It's the time of it that makes it a bit odd, isn't it? It's not three in the afternoon.
What was Ronnie doing? Is the question.
He said he was on his way back from a show in Wales or something like that.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Thank you, Andy. Thank you for starting our list. Do you think Ronnie Corbett, like everyone else, when you're near a policeman, you suddenly think
just
you're a murderer?
Just feel guilty, yeah.
And drive past the policeman and go, oh, my God, maybe I did murder someone yesterday and I've totally forgotten about it and now I'm really on edge and I've driven
into
the lamppost. All right, time for a feature that happens on your show. Time to take a trip down the River Nile. James, Gav, can you explain what this is all about, please?
Well,
how badly do people train?
Yeah, morning,
simple
Wally.
All right. We've got Wimbledon cult hero Wally Downs as our guest on this. Wally, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Max. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm very well. Lovely to speak to you.
Max, I listened to last week. I know it wasn't you, but I've got a couple of stipulations before we get going.
Yeah, I understood.
Put it on to Gavin, right?
Yeah,
if you cut away to the ashes, the phone's going down.
Yeah,
if you can't wait in a netball, if you can't wait in a netball, the phone's going down.
We felt the same, Wally, don't worry.
Anything to do with Stadium Rock or the Green Party, the phone's going down.
Wally, no. Wally, at least if we do cut away to the news or something, when you come back, you won't get a long anecdote from the main host.
Is there anything you don't mind us cutting away to, Wally?
No, you're all right. Anything other than that, you're all right.
Wally, okay, does anyone call you Walter?
Yeah.
Did you, who?
Well, anyone who chances it.
Are they allowed to, Wally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
What are you doing this morning, Wally?
Oh, I've had a game of golf this morning.
Okay, how'd you get on?
I played very, very well.
OK, just wait there 1 second. England knocked out of the
netball.
Knocked out of the netball by New Zealand last night. They're in a third, fourth place playoff. Let's get a quick update from James Brown.
If that was Johnny, it was going down. You know that. It's not like you, Max. That's the only reason he stayed up.
Well, it's very kind of you to say so. All right, so Wally, when you were a footballer, Wally, were you a true professional?
In the warm-up, how did you warm up? Mm.
Well, it wasn't the warm-up when I was playing. It was the kickabout.
Right.
Then it was used to say, "Shall anyone fancy a kickabout? Anyone going out for a kickabout?"
And some didn't.
So, no, not everyone. So we'd go out and we'd smash balls at Lurch until he got the ump and went in. Right. So that's the end of his warm up. And then, you know, people just be doing a few stretches, nothing regimented. In the end, we got bored after about 5 minutes, and we just wound up playing sort of bit with a ball. You sort of hit the top half of the person's body, I was on it, and I had to do the next one. So it was nothing regimented.
Did you ever like go out for a game, Wally, and the first thing you did was absolutely ping a ball and pull a hamstring?
No, I never in my whole career pulled a hamstring. But I'll tell you what did happen. Craig Richards, one of our midfield players, he went out and just we'd done the warm up, and he was just kicking off, and he pulled his quad up. Grabbed his ankle, pulled it up to the back of his bum, and his cartilage went on the other leg, and he just collapsed, toppled straight over. Yeah, had to be carted off before we'd even kicked off.
And who was the one player who just literally didn't warm up at all then from that?
Well, Corky didn't warm up, but from the moment I laid eyes on him to the, and I'm talking during the game, he didn't look as though he'd warmed up. You know, he's just very, very strange body, Corky had. He was never sort of lither or a great runner, so you could never tell the difference from him getting off the bench or at the end of the game.
Our guest last week who recommended Wally said that Alan Cork's body language stank.
It was true.
It was
right.
Very funny.
John Gannon.
Because so much is said about the Crazy Gang spirit, do you think it was totally different to every other football club? Or do you reckon every football club sort of had elements of
had
that
a version
anyway?
Of it, yeah.
Every football club was the same in them days. Everyone had you know, a couple of nutcases, a couple of alcoholics, a couple of ones that was always injured. It was every club had the same. But, we, you know, they latched on to us. And because we were successful on a consistent basis coming through the divisions, it sort of stuck with us. And it was sort of cheap copy for the journalist. And because we were successful, it stuck with us more than anyone else.
Wally, you said it was all like that in those days. Since you've been a coach, have you ever had to encourage the players to liven it up a bit?
Yes, on occasions I've had to encourage players.
For morale. Purely for morale.
Team spirit, yeah.
Purely from around team spirit, yeah. They do need a bit of encouragement now and again.
What would you do to basically coach a player to enjoy themselves beyond the pitch?
Beyond the pitch?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about after-match recreation?
Yeah, of course I am.
unless I was involved in it, the less I know about it, the better.
Did you have to change it as a coach, or when you were a coach, did your manager have to take you aside and say, "Wally, you're a coach now. You got to behave a bit more."
Yes, yeah, I've had that a few times. there's a very fine line that you should never cross.
What is that line?
The touch line.
I don't know. Never found it.
How close have you been to thinking, I shouldn't be doing this? What have you done as a coach?
Normally, after I've done it.
What have you done as a coach that you shouldn't have done, Wally?
Well, the one that springs to mind was we played Liverpool. We're playing Liverpool away in the league on the Saturday, and we're playing at Crystal Palace, and we're playing them at home. Playing them at home in the Carling Cup quarter final on the Tuesday. So Steve Coppell was the manager, and he decided to go out there and play with three centre halves because we were going to play. We didn't really think we'd win the league game or didn't want to win the league game on a Saturday. We want to win it on a Tuesday in the Cup. So we go out and we play with three centre-halves. We hadn't done a great deal of work on it. And all of a sudden, after 7 or 8 minutes, we're 3-0 down. So Steve says, we've got to change this. Well, turn to go to 442, blah, 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 change back to normal. So I'm screaming, but they can't hear a word because Anfield's rocking now. So he says, well, you've got to get on there. I said, what? I got a message to Andy Thorn to go down as I was injured. I grabbed the physio's bag and ran on. So I'm trying to talk now. You can imagine the players don't know what's happening. They're looking at me as though he's gone mad. Thorny don't know what's going on either. So I'm now trying to tell Thorny to change the system. And I ain't even opened the bag. The ref's come over and said, what are you doing? So I said, the physio's gone into the... I've had to come and do it. So I've had to get a spray out, pretending I was spraying it, but I've got the wrong spray out.
No, not the DP. No.
No, I've got the adhesive. I don't know what you had in for the adhesive. This blue stuff come out of the aerosol, and my finger got stuck to Fawny's sock. And I couldn't come off.
That can't be real.
The ref's now telling me to get off, and I can't get off. Fawny stood up, and I've had to stand up. My finger's down by his ankle. I now had to get the scissors out and cut the sock so my finger would come through.
Now, how long did you have that bit of sock on your finger for?
You still got it on.
I've had to get the scissors out of the bag with one hand. All the stuff's on the floor. The ref's going mad. He's telling us both to get off. So I've got to walk off with my finger. Down by, but that's when I had to cut the sock. And we lost 5-0 as well. Didn't that much. But we beat him on the Tuesday night.
So it was all part of the plan. That's so good.
Yeah, think on your feet plan.
You can't better that.
No, you can't. We should just end the show.
Yeah, Wally, you broke your leg 4 times.
And my kneecap.
That sounds like the worst injury for a footballer, but is it the worst injury, a broken leg? Is it worse with the kneecap or the cruciate?
Well, there's so many advances now. I mean, when I packed up, people started just having cruciates more, and they were a year out. Yeah. Now the advances with cruciate mending, as you know, they're back a lot quicker than they were. And the problem with my breaks was just that it was a year out rehabilitation all the time. You know, I played 250 games by the time I was 22. Yeah. And about 14 afterwards in 4 years.
But it wasn't the same leg, was it?
No, I've only got the two.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, Wally, that story is just so brilliant. Who are you going to nominate for us to get next?
All right. Well, here's one for you then. How about Terry Urlock?
Oh, brilliant. Yes. Great. Is he a good laugh?
He's all right, yeah, Till.
How would he feel when we stop him for the netball?
Perfect.
He's all right. He'll be all right, Till. Don't worry about it. That's good story for
Thank you so much for your time, Wally. We appreciate it greatly.
That was a great story.
It really was.
And it means we can do the phone-in now. Have you ever been glued to Andy Thorne? Which is niche, but it could work. You're listening to the warm-up on TalkSport. If you've not already signed up yet for our Selco Predictor game, you should get involved. There are brilliant prizes up for grabs every single week. This week, if you can beat Alan Brazil's scores, you can win a Samsung Galaxy S6 and Alan's body weight in Haribo. Go to talksport.com/predictor. There is a brand new app. Search Selco Predictor in the App Store and download it for free now. You have to say this, James. You have to be careful and say that. The Haribo thing, it might not win a comedy award, but it wasn't serious because I was on a local radio station once and we were playing. The nation's favourite pastry based quiz show, Who Wants to Win a Chocolate Eclair? And you worked your way up from like an iced bun up through donut, Chelsea bun. If you get that, that's yours safe and you can win a chocolate eclair. It's a really great radio feature. I don't know why a national station's never taken it on. But at the end, I said, you've won a week's holiday in the Seychelles. And like,
as a joke,
it almost went to court.
Oh no.
This is Radio Cambridge you're here. Like, we're not going to send you to the Seychelles. How could you do that?
Yeah, but they don't know. Right now, somebody's hoping. To be honest, when you came to me then, I was trying to work out how many bags of Haribo Alan would weigh.
I don't think they've made that many Haribo.
No, but the jelly Haribo,
do you think
aren't very heavy.
But maybe
you'd
have
to go for a heavier product, like a licorice.
One full-size Brazil Haribo, full-size... One flavour.
That would really hurt your tongue. You'd get that jaw.
Imagine, I'd be like a horrible Doctor Who villain.
If it was a tank.
Alan Haribo.
If it was a tank.
Haribrazil.
If it was Alibo.
Just coming at you.
A Tangfastix, that would be really sour, wouldn't it? A whole a whole giant, fizzy one. You wouldn't want it to be the cherries.
They'd be called giant Brazils. Just in the not, would you? You
could sour, just, fizzy
you
Brazils.
Could just lick it. You wouldn't have to eat it. You just live in your house and lick it.
I mean, for about a month.
It would last longer than that.
It would.
It'd get covered in sticky stuff.
It would. It would get. I've got a cat.
Arguably, it would be more of a beanbag than confectionery.
In the end, yeah.
Right, for no apparent reason at all, why are we doing Who Have You Met in a Service Station? Was there any reason?
No idea.
Just to fill time.
Oh, wasn't it? Okay, well, Carolina's a Manchester United fan. Has been hanging on for far too long. Carolina, how are you?
Hello, I'm all right, thank you. Morning, boys.
Morning. Thanks for ringing. What did you have planned instead of being on hold with us for 15 minutes?
Well, I know, it's okay, don't worry. We're going out for a bike ride.
Okay, good.
So, you know.
Like a long lycra-filled bike ride, or just like a little potter?
No, it's only a potter. I've got a six-year-old and a nine-year-old, so it's never going to be, you know, a triathlon.
Well, I understand.
You're not making a Peloton out of that.
Could do.
Well, apologies for them for delaying their cycle ride. Who have you met at the service station?
Well, I was at Sandbach Services near Manchester, obviously, coming home from the match from Manchester United-Chelsea. So I'm stood there at a famous fast food restaurant. Okay. Not sure if I'm allowed to say so.
Right, if you say it, then it just happens, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. So anyway, I'm stood there ordering my Big Mac.
Okay.
And there's somebody stood beside me, and you know you can see someone out the corner of your eye, and you think, oh, there's obviously someone there, and they start ordering. I recognise that voice, but who would I know on the services at sort of 9:30 at night? Mm-hmm. No one really. Turn around, Eamon Holmes.
Oh,
that's good, isn't it? And he'd been at the game as well.
He'd been at the game.
Now, what everybody wants to know, Carolina.
Yeah, was it a big order?
What's the 9:30 p.m. Eamon Holmes? Can you now go to McDonald's and say, "I'll have an Eamon Holmes, please"?
It's a big Eamon.
Yeah.
Did the queue slow down for a long time?
I was then overwhelmed because obviously it was Eamon Holmes, and then completely forgot what his order was.
Oh.
I don't know. Sorry. Right. But he did pay for it himself.
Oh, he didn't nick it. That's good, isn't it? It's good to know that.
Like, you're Eamon Holmes, so we'll give it you for free. Well,
that's good to know that.
Yeah, they can't do that. They probably didn't know who he was.
No, well,
yeah.
Who knows?
No, but then I think I must have triggered off like a domino effect, because then everybody's like, Eamon Holmes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was hoping...
I don't want to hoist your petard, right, but... Probably he triggered the domino effect.
Oh, come on, James.
Probably just other people recognised him.
No, maybe Carolina noticing him started a lot more noticing.
What I really hoped was...
How does that work?
She said it's Eamon Holmes.
Oh, did she?
And then someone must have heard her.
Yeah. I was hoping it was the other domino effect, and you looked around and everyone else from this morning was also there. Like Philip Schofield, and then, you know, the agony aunt, and then the doctor, and then the... Yeah, anyway. Carolina, great call. Thank you so much. Andy is an Arsenal fan. In Leeds. Andy, how are you?
That's not right.
I'm not too bad. How are you doing, Nats?
Yeah, we're very well. For no reason at all, we're collating a list of people you've met at the services. But, you know, it fills time, doesn't it?
It's a bit strange, but it's a good one.
Tell us your story.
Yeah, it was Sven Goran Eriksson's first game in charge for England. We played Spain at Villa Park. Myself and my brother had gone down. We come back up. Stopped off at one of the service stations on the M1. Needed to go to the toilet, and there's a bit of a bend as I walked into the toilet. I bumped into a big tall lad, Rio Ferdinand.
Oh. Did you exchange? did you chat, or was it the true form of a gentleman's toilet where no word is spoken?
And you look straight ahead.
Yeah,
it was definitely true form. He apologised to me, and I said, "Don't worry about it, Rio." And then I actually almost forgot that I needed to go to the toilet. I was that awful.
I like that. Thanks for your call, Andy. Appreciate it. So it was good. What's good to know is you learn a bit more. So Rio Ferdinand, you know, affects sort of the constipation of people. Yeah. Eamon Holmes doesn't steal McDonald's.
No.
These are the things that people, when they wake up and they switch on the biggest sports radio station in the world, that's what they want to know.
That gap between everyday people and really famous people, that perception that really famous people get everything for free, or that you get the free holiday from the Seychelles, which you're not giving away anymore.
As I would,
but you know what I mean? That gap, that gulf.
As I would probably place myself near a Z on the list, right? Z, you know, and I'm not sort of trying to be humble there. It may even be below Z, and I'll get abused saying, oh, thinks he's a Z-lister. I occasionally get the bus, and then I quite like tweeting him on the bus, and a lot of people are surprised I'm not in a helicopter.
Where's your chauffeur? Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
your helicopter?
Yeah.
I'm just going to town.
I've got a few of these here.
Yeah. Well,
people you've met.
Oh, well, do you want to...
Well, celebrities do get things for free, let's be honest about it, but they don't claim it in public at a McDonald's randomly.
When I go to a McDonald's and they charge me, I say, no.
No, don't you know who I am?
Yeah. I've only ever said that once.
Right.
And it was... I used to present a TV show called Soccer AM.
Yes.
And
don't mention it.
No, yeah. And, there was early in my tenure, 7 years ago, so 2008, I went for a wee in an ad break, and then I couldn't get back in.
Security
guard wouldn't let me back in because I didn't have a wristband.
Yeah.
So actually, I didn't actually say the words. I just sort of said, this is awkward. You know, I've got this microphone and this. It's not like I'm not so desperate to get in there. This is actually what I do.
Couldn't you just spoken into the microphone to the galley and have them come and let
you in? No, because they turn it down when you go to the toilet.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's like Naked
That's
Gun.
That's dangerous. That's
exactly,
right.
Yeah. You're listening to Warm Up on TalkSport.
Virgin Black!
Back in Black now is all parts of this show sponsored by McCoy's. Talk to me about it.
It is. It's just a quick bulletin or two on the new rules. There's new rules this season.
Okay, good.
It's referee roundup, Max.
It is, yeah.
Good.
If a player feigns injury,
yeah,
he can be punished after the game now.
So they should punish, did you watch the Villa game, Vertu, the right-back from Villa?
They give a scenario they give out here. A player A is sent off for violent conduct.
Mm-hmm.
The dismissal can be overturned after the referee reviews the incident and sees that player B had faked it.
Right.
So that's something I think everyone's been wanting because they know they always seem to get away with it, don't they?
But last night, Vertu for Aston Villa, he got there was a sort of a coming together with Januzaj, and then Vertu kicked out at Januzaj, and then he then held his chest as if
he'd been
because
hurt.
I'm watching it full speed. You weren't sure who'd kicked who or if anyone had kicked anyone. Unfortunately, the ref, I can't remember who was reffing it, just went, oh, just get up, you idiots.
Which is what
he should
have done.
That's like fighting fire with fire.
Why?
Because what they're saying is, if you're pretending to get hurt,
yes,
the ref is pretending to let it run.
How do you mean?
Well, he's not punishing you. So he's pretending that it's
okay. He might have been deceived by a dive.
Yeah.
A non-injury.
And then later they're going to like...
Later they can say that player shouldn't have been sent off, so the red card, the ban he would have got is not a ban anymore.
What happens
and
if...
And the player that faked the no-contact ankle-breaking injury can get punished retrospectively for faking it.
What happens if I try and punch you in the face, right, and I miss, but you go down?
I've always wondered that
because
question.
Because then I need to get sent off, but
That's
you
right.
also
the
can
intent.
Get sent off.
Yeah, yeah. I guess. It is going to open up more worms, isn't it? Mm.
It will open the worms.
It will
literally
open up more cans
open those
of,
worms.
There's a whole kettle of ball games.
Right inside the sinew of the worm.
Why don't professional football pitches have more worms on them?
They can't keep the pace up. Those worms are too slow.
It's a wide expanse of grass.
Yeah.
You never see a player going, ugh! It's not a worm!
It's not actually just soil and grass anyway. A modern football pitch.
What is it?
The Arsenal pitch has an amount of grass that's not real. That can be pumped up and down depending on how well the grass is actually growing.
Really?
Yeah.
You've got 20 more seconds to tell us all the other rules of football. Go.
The other ones are codes of conduct for the technical area. You can't kick bottles of water, wave imaginary cards, or clap sarcastically. Which I love. I love that one.
That's a really good one.
How do they? No playing up.
Fewer players are allowed to confront the referee. At the moment, the rule is sort of no more than three.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken it down to two.
Okay.
Although I noticed Sam Matterface last week in the Chelsea-Swansea game said that John Terry surrounded the ref.
What if three of you are running at the ref and then one of you has to go... Oh.
One of you's got to break away.
One
of you's got to break away like a red arrow.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. With a spray of smoke as well. Are there any more?
There's one more. They're trying to clear up the offside law for the player that's not involved in play.
Yeah.
And they kind of made it a bit muddier. A player in an offside position shall be penalised if he, one, clearly attempts to play a ball, which is close to him, when this action impacts on an opponent, or two, makes an obvious action which clearly impacts on the ability of an opponent to play the ball. So
if anybody didn't zone out in that, congratulations.
Yeah, exactly, well done.
It's the warm-up on TalkSport. Wow, I like this sort of Bollywood vibe.
You'll get why we use it in a minute, because this is why it's very good, very bad.
I understand. Right, I see. Important to say, I listen to a lot of TalkSport's output, and if you are just switching on, I'm Max Rush and not Johnny Bourne, but the usual suspects here, James and Gab, are here. And the point being that I've only ever heard the last 20 minutes of this show. So when it gets to 12:40, I'll be right on it.
Yeah,
but
you'll
but
be on home
for all the features
you'll
that
be
on happened
familiar
before.
Ground,
then,
yes.
You know that one where I have to like, you know, sort of do lots of innuendos. Yeah, I'm bang up for that one.
What, Butch?
Yeah, well, whatever. I don't know. Just start. You switch. You know, that's sort of when I switch on. Somebody's just gone like a one of those late night phone lines.
The reason you only could catch the last 20 minutes was because you were presenting Soccer AM.
True.
How often did you try and stick the ball through the holes in the wall? Wembley, whatever it's called now.
Would you say what my working week was Friday and Saturday morning, and I would spend half of Friday kicking the ball through the hole? But, you know, you wouldn't just try and kick it from the penalty spot. You'd be like, I'm going to go left peg 25 yards.
Yeah, and just do more
you
and more.
You can't go 25 yards because there's that wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, but you can bend it around there, can't you?
Oh, and now, did you?
Well, I mean, like...
Is there still that ramp down where they kick it from?
No, because we move. Yeah, they move.
Right, it used to be really unfair. You'd see the balls rolling off.
Down. And it's hard with the downward lie, isn't it? It changes your stance. And everything.
Did you actually get good at it?
Did I get good at kicking? No, actually, bizarrely.
You got worse.
Well, I was actually quite often on a Saturday, I'd be wearing Converse trainers, and they are not good for playing football in. So I would always use that as an excuse. Because I'm not a bad footballer. But that was not.
You
not
often
my specialty.
Tweet pictures of yourself in your kit.
When I've been punched in the face. Normally, it's you only want to tweet humiliating things. So it's normally if someone's punched me in the face or kicked me really hard, then it's nice for the haters. You know? You want to cater for.
Here's
the,
one for the
you've
haters.
You've got to cater for the trolls. That's what you have to do.
Cater for the haters.
Yeah. All right, it's time for.
You're very good.
Yeah, but you have to say it and then it comes in.
This is your.
Yeah. Very good. Right, so my very good I went to the Abbey Stadium last week, opening game of the season, with my dad. He rang earlier. Thanks for calling, Dad, and knowing what I do professionally. And we won. And it's a very strange feeling for me because we made a lot of money last year off the Man United game. We drew with Man United and we went to Old Trafford in the replay. We made about $1 million,
wow.
Which I think is that's about how much it costs to run Cambridge for a year.
For a year, okay.
Yeah. So that meant that we had some money to go and buy some players, and we went and actually bought sensible players who've done it already, who've been there and gone and promoted
Balotelli.
From League Two. So we haven't gone down that route. Normally we would spunk it all on one, you know, wonder kid from Bournemouth, who's 17-year-old. But actually we've gone and bought sensible, you know, players who've gone up from League Two. We bought this guy, Barry Corr, who was at Southend last year. He's a very good centre-forward. Got Leon Legge and Mark Roberts, centre-backs. And they, it's just sensible management. Sensible. We look good. We're big and strong. Every one of our players is over 6'8", which is good, proper
league.
Every
single one.
Well, I mean, it's a big reason. But, you know,
like Peter the Great,
goalkeeper.
Peter the Great did that with his immediate security. He had an army of giants.
That's a good idea. So I think we might go up. Right, and this time for my... Very bad. Do you know what? I was going to use the fact I went to the Abbey and now I've got false hope, which is the worst emotion for any football fan.
I don't know anything about that. I'm an Arsenal fan.
No, you wouldn't understand. No. So I have that false hope. But actually, it just came to now. My very bad is this. As much as I've enjoyed today, Barry genuinely will be annoyed. He will be in a mood tomorrow.
Barry, we mean nothing to him.
Yeah. But, you know, so I just...
Will he be going, sir? Yeah. You've seen them again, have you?
Yeah, it'll be like that. And I'll say, it didn't mean anything. It was just a moment of madness.
Why did you have to even go and see them? What did you have to clear up?
One thing led to another. Yeah. And before I knew it, I'd done 2-hour radio show with them.
I see you've been tweeting one of them.
Couldn't you have just said, I'm sorry, I need the space?
Yes.
I've got another stay, I've got another thing, I've got to concentrate
it
on that.
It keeps your relationship with Barry fresh.
Couldn't you have told us it wasn't us, it was you?
Yeah.
But I don't think Barry wanted an open relationship.
Oh.
You know, we hadn't had that conversation.
Didn't you stipulate that?
No.
2 years ago?
No.
Wow.
So I'm...
He cheated on you with Sam Delaney.
Exactly.
Yes, but that was only because I was cheating on him with Vietnam.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like a big relationship.
It really
fair
was.
Play, Max. Go for it.
It was pretty tiring.
You were cheating on Barry with a whole country.
It was pretty tiring. I'll be brutally honest. Okay, Gab, what's your... Very good, very good.
Mario Balotelli's saying that he's going to stay at Liverpool because if he stays, he gets a five-figure loyalty bonus. Mm. And I thought, well, you know, you can't really buy loyalty, can you? It's very good that he's that loyal.
I think the whole loyalty argument is nonsense. But not, you know, as you say, he's a one-club man.
I'm thinking of a man who played an extra year at Arsenal for £5 million, Thierry Henry.
Yeah, but he was. But Thierry Henry was a bit more useful to Arsenal than Balotelli has been to Liverpool.
Yeah. But the point is, if anyone said, "Here's £5 million," you'd take it immediately.
Well, of course, yeah.
If Magic FM rang you now and said, "We want you to do late night love songs," you'd be off there like a shot.
Well, I would. Every manager buys Balotelli thinks they're going to be the manager.
To
help the coin drop finally, and he'll realise what he needs to do. Yeah. But he's a bit like one of those fairground coin pushers, isn't he? The coin doesn't seem to ever drop.
He's one of those players where, because, you know, professional footballers say, that guy is brilliant. Mm. And you go, I haven't seen it yet, but I have to trust your judgment. In the same way that we all knew Paul Scholes was brilliant at football, but we'd never realised he was so brilliant that Zidane, Yapstan, Pirlo, everyone says he literally is the best. It's one of those things where I just think there's a disconnect where fans go, I haven't seen it yet.
It's to do with the difference between being a footballer and being a member of a team. So you can be a brilliant footballer and other footballers can admire them for being brilliant footballers.
As an individual.
But you've got to show for it, you've got to work for it. And that thing of saying, oh, you don't have to work, but actually you do because you're part of other people have an expectation that you might run towards them to receive the ball.
I don't know if it's true, but he gives the impression of someone who feels that they're that good that things will work out okay, whatever, in his career, one way
like
or the other.
Football's Johnny Vaughan.
But you know what I mean, though? And it doesn't necessarily happen that way. It doesn't. Sometimes brilliant, a player that is naturally
you're
as good
nodding
as him
too much there, James.
Might not be able to get a good career out of football.
Maybe you're right. What's your... Very bad. Isn't it just easier to say very bad?
Because from that song.
Exactly.
It's a great song.
Okay. Last Sunday, Arsenal had a pre-season game with West Ham, because obviously this is the first day of the season today.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
And they were beaten quite easily after a lot of sort of optimism about the way Arsenal played at the end of last season and quite a successful pre-season, if there is such a thing. And, it was horrible. West Ham played really well. Arsenal didn't look like they thought they should have taken it as seriously as they should.
You're right. There was a little bit where the ball bobbled up.
Yeah.
And Giroud just sort of in the middle of the party, casually nodded it over. Mm. The thing with Arsenal is they can't just go up a gear. They can't increase the intensity.
That was the issue. It was slow. From Arsenal. Everything was a bit slower.
It was very Spurs, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Gavin,
it was.
Because everything with Arsenal is based on ability,
right?
They don't have that that understand about changing the tension of a game and imposing themselves
sort of anger
through
thing.
Aggression.
Yeah.
And when he arrived, you had Winterburn, Adams.
Already angry.
And then he brought Vieira in. They came, who were all quite gnarly players.
They were pre-angry, yeah.
James, I need your...
Okay, I watched an amazing film last night and I tried to get my girlfriend to watch it early in the week and she wasn't having it. It was just, I thought it was going to be fast food filler. It's called Pain and Gain.
Mm-hmm.
It came out 3 years ago and it's presented like a buddy movie.
Right.
And because it's got The Rock, who's a wrestler in it, you're not naturally going to be drawn to it. Any sportsman films, you'd rather think, let's have a real
actor.
What's
the film about? I might have seen this.
The film is amazing. It's on Netflix at the moment, Pain and Gain. It's a true crime story, and it just gets more and more and more insane to the point where at one point they're barbed.
So you're saying as films by The Rock, it's better than The Mummy Returns?
If you've bypassed it on Netflix or whatever you watch your films
on. It's a hidden gem, yeah.
It's 2 or 3 years old. Mark Wahlberg is the central character, and he's absolutely brilliant. I would watch it again if I hadn't had to get up to come and do this show early this morning.
And what is your...
Gavin mentioned it. You mentioned it about having the false hope. 1 week of optimism. It wasn't even 1 week for Leeds. The optimism was shattered after 5 days. 5 days, and the optimism shut. And the problem of the sort of search and destroy method that Chelino has in running the club is that by getting rid of Neil Redfern, there was no one there to tell. I'm talking about the club I support, Leeds. There was no one there to tell him on Thursday, but that playing a centre back who normally plays right back in as a defensive midfielder in Wootton, and also Dukara, and also Antonucci together isn't going to work. I know this is probably boring if you don't support Leeds, but you've got to have continuity. You've got to have the new manager knowing and getting a little bit of an inside track about the players he's inherited. It was frustrating.
Yeah, but it's better to get rid of the hope, I think. Better to get rid of the hope. I've still got it. Look, we lost 1-0 at Rotherham in the Capital One Cup. That's a good result for Cambridge. You know,
Did you win or lose?
No, we lost. But I'm pleased with that result. That's good. So I've still got false hope, and I don't.
Yeah, but
want
I think we Leeds have got the squad this year that could go up, whether it's
automatic. No, you have. Jay, you haven't. You
We've
know
got
you
a
haven't.
Really good squad.
Yeah,
really, really good squad.
Don't have the hope.
We're short of one experienced midfielder. That's all we need.
If you lose the hope and it happens, it's just a lovely bonus.
Anyway, the manager, Hugo Rosler, made a mistake. He shouldn't have made 5 changes. He should have just made a couple. Yeah.
He's a lovely man.
Just optimism gone.
Mm. We'll be
day
back.
5 of the season.
Dear 5.
We'll be back in 2 minutes. Talk Sport. You are listening to the warm-up on Talk Sport. Max Rushen in for Johnny Vaughan. I think just for this week, no idea. Right, fellas, listen, we're about to break a broadcasting record here because for the first time on any radio station, not just Talk Sport, we've managed 80 minutes without mentioning the Chelsea doctor.
Yes. Right,
which is very impressive.
I thought of it when Wally Downs said he ran on.
That's it.
He wasn't even
too,
the doctor.
Yeah.
And glued himself to Andy Thorne. So look, we need to redress that balance immediately. I'm very pleased to say comedian Chelsea fan Omid Jalili is on the phone. Omid, how are you?
Yeah, very well. How you doing, boys?
Yeah, good.
Morning, Omid.
We really wanted your take on the Chelsea doctor. Presumably you've thought of nothing else all week.
I'm a big fan of Ava's. She's been around the Chelsea camp since Andre Villas-Boas, and I'm very lucky in the sense that I've got a few people on the inside who kind of know. Would you like to know a bit of the inside scoop?
Yeah, of course we would.
First of all, she's very respected, and it's been about a year now that there's been a feeling that Jose is a bit worried that she affects the boys in a slightly different way. I've been in the dressing room, actually. It's interesting. And when people are... You'd think people would be a bit more gentlemanly around her. And I think they are. I think they are. Although what I was... I was invited by Bruce Buck, and he just kind of says, go in the dressing room. He doesn't go in to do any introductions. He just go on. As if I'm an 8-year-old child with an autograph book. He goes, go on. Just go in the dressing room.
Oh, wow.
And they actually... It's interesting. They after a game, they're absolutely shattered, and they just had showers. And they don't seem to mind nakedness. But there is a sense that she's a woman and they're quite respectful. And I think Jose's been worried about that. You know, I was there, we were filming something, I did a Chelsea HD promo, and I saw that she was there, and Fabregas wasn't playing with his mask, and he got smacked in the face by Diego Costa. And she was there. She has to be there for all the training sessions. She helps the players out. But at the same time, I think that she basically gave Jose a piece of her mind and said, look, you have no jurisdiction. When a referee says you come on, you come on. It's always... And I think there was the head of FIFA, the medical team, said that managers in that sense, they don't have any, that they have no say. When a referee says come on, you come on.
Yeah, I think that's correct,
But I worry that this is a bit of a... It's a real publicity disaster for Chelsea, but it's weird because we understand that Jose really likes her and respects her, but I think the speculations that for the last year, Chelsea haven't won a game even in pre-season. I think they've lost one and drawn a few. So
Do you think Jose's been cynical enough to use this to detract from talking about the game?
Yes.
Are you worried about your season? I mean, people obviously just, it gets all sensationalised, doesn't it? And they say, oh, well, Jose's cracking under some pressure. Even Barry, who I did the Sunday show with, doesn't think Jose will be here at the end of the season.
Nah, that's rubbish. He'll definitely be here. He's so respected. I mean when I shot this Chelsea HD promo last year, and I couldn't believe that they'd already won the league. There was a penultimate home game against Sunderland. And I saw them training, and they were going hell for leather. And I spoke to Gary Cahill after. I said, what are you doing? You've won the league. He goes, what? I said, you're all going hell for leather. He goes, He goes, oh, that's a very light training session. I said, but you're going in, you're getting injured. Terry smacked his head on a goalpost. You had Diego Costa making noises and kicking people in the face. And even Fabregas said to me, he goes, look at him running. He runs with the ball.
Noises?
He makes pig noise. He runs a little going, and Fabregas said,
wait, is that Ahmed? Ahmed, is that as he's going into a tackle?
Listen to me. Fabregas said that was funny in August. It's not funny now.
What's going to happen with the City game tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. I think Chelsea's set up shop. It'll probably be a draw. I'm going to go 1-1. But I think Man City looking tasty. But you never know. With Chelsea, they're champions. They just need to score a couple of goals and anything can happen and the floodgates will open up. Who knows? Ava's not going to be there. They might have a good game.
Ahmed, are you working at the moment or are you just professionally now at the Chelsea training ground?
That's all I do. I just hang around looking for someone to talk to me because so I can feel validated as a human being.
Do they talk to you, Ahmed?
No, they ignore me.
Oh. When are you coming back to our game, Ahmed?
I'd love to. I'm getting ready to go for a... I'm not like you. James has it like me, has a belly, but he can score 10 goals in 11 shots. I'm going to have some acupuncture to see actually deal with my belly is getting so big.
To deflate, sort of deflating acupuncture.
Deflate the belly, yeah. I love the way you had Wally Downs on. By the way, Wally Downs is the spirit of Wimbledon. When we did Meme Machine, they say, is the spirit of Wimbledon, was it Vinnie Jones, was it Dennis Wise? No, it was Wally Downs, and I'll never forget. Have you seen the film Meme Machine?
Yes.
Have you seen it? You know, the guy playing the referee was just an actor, and all the kind of crazy gang were studding him and they were hurting him, and he came up to me and goes, Ahmed, could you speak to those lads and let them know? They think I'm a real referee and they're hurting me. I'm actually an actor. I said, what have you done? He goes, I was in Annie Get Your Gun, I was in Musical, I was in South Pacific. And it was actually Wally Downs who said, listen, Vin, leave him alone. He was in Annie Get Your Gun, leave him alone.
All I want to do is dance, Ahmed, and they're kicking me.
Right, give us a score prediction, Ahmed.
1-1.
1-1. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it greatly. Ahmed Jalili there. Great, you are cool. Listening to the warm up on
Talk Sport.
Cheers, guys. Hello, The Outsider.
Hello, I'm here. How are you doing?
Oh, you're very well, Max. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm having a nice summer of not watching football or playing football. Yeah.
You're totally sort of like the Stig, really, of this show. Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. He's an expert in not football.
But I'm now becoming into a public property, so some of the kids at school will recognise me, and one of the other teachers did, a mate of mine. So, my notoriety is actually getting bigger
and
bigger.
So we've established that you...
He's a biology teacher.
You're a teacher, or you just hang around schools when you shouldn't. One of the two. Do we have a name? Do we know?
No, we don't know the name.
Outsider, can I ask you a question?
Yes, go on.
One of the reasons why I'm pleased to hear you back is a few weeks ago we were saying if only The Outsider was here.
Spiders.
Because there was masses and masses of flying ants in a street near where I live. What is that about, the flying ant? It's a hybrid of two insects.
No, it's this is a dispersal answer. So if you're an animal, you want to disperse your populations. So if you're a spider, you might put your abdomen in the air, make a balloon and then fly off.
Right.
Like linophytes do in our country.
Done that myself many a time.
Flying spiders and ballooning spiders. I've been trying to film that for 20 years and I haven't seen it yet. Another example would be coconuts floating down rivers. They're dispersing their seeds that way. Now, ants...
A coconut makes an active decision to float
down
the river?
Well, it doesn't think that, but coconuts that float further away are the ones that survive more.
Ah.
I wouldn't say areas.
It's more subconscious.
It's natural selection.
With
a coconut.
I would say that's called natural selection.
So go on, the flying ant. What is a flying ant? Why were there thousands of them in the street near my house?
It's such a great spectacle, isn't it? I would have just watched that for hours. Did you film it?
No, they were coming at me.
Oh, nice
I was just
one.
Trying to get away.
Oh, nice one. Well, okay, you've got ants build some for drone workers, so they go out and cut a leaf or something, and then you've got the queen that just seems to get laid all day, and then you've got the other one that makes eggs and think, oh, that's the queen, isn't it? And then some of them are flying ants to disperse and go further afield.
I've got a question for the Outsider.
Well, yeah, go for it.
Outsider, tell us about the false widow.
Oh, right.
I've got quite a few in my garden, and my wife's worried about them.
What is it, Gav?
Well, outsider's going to tell us.
Okay, he hasn't really answered my question yet.
But a black widow's Lactodatus mantius or something is a very distinctive. It's not actually black. It's a very, very dark red. Mm. And then it's got an hourglass on its abdomen, which is sometimes they don't. It's a variation there. Which is how you can always tell it's a black widow. Now, there's ones that are pretty much the same body plan, because it's quite a popular body plan to have amongst spiders. It's easy to make webs and things. And they're nothing like the black widow. They're just the same shape. So they've got the nickname false widow.
But do they bite? Is there a bad bite?
Well, yeah. No, they won't bite you. All spiders bite. But if I said to you, have £1 million if you can bite through that car tyre, you wouldn't have £1 million because your jaws aren't strong enough. And the spiders will not have jaws.
I'll take that
bet. Anyway.
I will take that. If you're offering £1 million to eat a car tyre, I'll bite through it.
I've got to choose the car
No problem.
Tire. Any normal domestic car tyre, your jaws are not strong enough to bite through it. And it's the same with the spiders.
Is there a time limit for James?
I'm telling you, I'll go for
that. You'll get there in the end.
For £1 million, I could do a lot of gnawing through rubber. I should be careful how I say that. Right.
Right. Well,
should we have your headlines?
Yeah, what are your headlines?
I prefer just him chatting about biology.
I like the fact he said spiders have a body plan.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, training three times a week.
It's like the rich spider's health.
Yeah, if you're sitting in a web, you want to be hanging on to the web. But if you're a wolf spider, you want to be running things down and chasing them.
I want to tone up my thorax. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, look, give us your headlines.
Spider gyms.
Do the bongs.
Jose, not a fan of Doctor and the Medics.
Ah.
Barton, hammered on Twitter.
Mm. Oh.
Basques, battered Baraka.
Ah, that's the Bill Bell game. Yeah.
Oh, I quite like that.
Very good.
Actually. It's taken me a long time to...
You're paying too much attention to football.
You are, yeah.
Well...
And is that it? Once he's done the bombs, you just get
News 24 is quite good for this role, because if you can have it on in the background rolling, and then you just pick out a couple of things and then think, well, what's that? Is that a name, or is that a club, or is that somebody, or is it a manoeuvre or whatever? And then you weave it around that way.
I think that's pretty much what the pundits do.
Yeah, well, listen, thanks, outside. I had a lovely time, and I've learned about a spider's body plan.
Can I tell you one more thing about spiders?
Go on. Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, there's a spider called Dinopes, you know. Fascinating. Doesn't live here, unfortunately. It lives in Australia. And its body walks on four legs, and its other four legs, it walks around carrying a web. So then it sees something, it then wanders over and then nets it.
Wow.
That's an interesting body plan. Talk Sport. Radio willing to run till
it drops. Yes. Talk Sport. The warm-up on Talk Sport with McCoy's. Real bold flavours for real bold fans. Right, we are doing the phone-in. Have you ever met a famous person in a service station? We're not quite sure why we're doing it, but we are doing it, and that's nice. Grant is a Manchester United fan in Brighton. Grant, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you
doing? Grant. Yeah, very well. Tell us your story. Good. Thanks for hanging on.
No, it's fine. No worries. It's worth it. So... It's not technically a service station.
Okay, welcome. Worried already, but carry on.
Okay,
what is
all right. So, have you ever heard of a place called the Wacky Warehouse?
No.
It's an indoor play for kids, so...
Soft play.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, it was about 1997, 98. I was 10, maybe 11, I don't remember. And in Cheshire, I was just sitting there playing, and looked on the table, and there was an old man, and I looked again, and I thought... That's Alex Ferguson. So I went over to him, shyly, coyly, you know, we had a discussion, and I asked him, are you Alex Ferguson? And he did confirm, and he said he's with his grandkids. So, yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Was he hogging all the time on the bouncy castle?
He kept checking his watch, so...
Did at any point you try and coax Sir Alex into the ballpark?
Yeah, the ball pit.
Did that happen?
I honestly didn't really know what to say.
Are you a Man U fan?
I am, yeah. I'm from Salford and Bury, so that's why I was out there.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, weren't tempted to throw balls at him.
Hey, look,
are you at the Formula One or something? Well, you're still on the side of a motorway.
Yeah, no, I'm a delivery driver for a florist, so I'm in the van.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, Grant. Appreciate that. Andy is also a Manchester United fan. How are you, Andy?
I'm fine, thank you.
Can you beat Sir Alex?
I reckon I can, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, look, he wasn't in a service station, so it doesn't count for our figures here. It's important to say.
Like your previous call, it wasn't, but...
When will people learn this is a niche service station-based phone-in? Anyway, carry on, Andy.
Well, in fact, it is a service station of a sort.
Okay.
But a service station for people.
Okay.
And I'm thinking it's about 40 years ago, but I was down at Royal St George's Golf Course, where they often have the Open and the PGAs, major tournaments. And I was watching, I was part of Arnie's Army, Arnold Palmer, and it was a heather blowy day, and it was on the ninth hole, and I was just watching the famous Jack Nicklaus putt out, and everybody's sort of frozen, as they do when they putt out. And I was dying to go to the loo, and they had a little sort of portal one off the ninth hole down a little bank. So I watched him putt out, quickly rushed down so I could get in there quickly. And I was going for loo, and you're always aware of people next to you when they come in and shuffle in.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do, you look across. I don't mean down, I mean you look across.
Yes, yes.
And I looked across, and it was Jack Nicklaus.
Wow. Were words exchanged?
No, but he I know why they called him the Golden Bear. Let's put it that way.
Top man, Andy. Thank you for your call. We appreciate that. I'm not sure how we can count I met Jack Nicklaus at a golf course. Do you know what I mean? I just don't know if that's as
well. It was
as
at least in a portaloo.
Yeah, but as exciting as Ronnie Corbett at Heston Services.
I wouldn't
at 3 a.m.
either of them to get petrol. Because the first bloke got the soft play, second bloke got to a golf course.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Jack and a Beanstalk.
Yeah. I mean, really, the phone in which started well and it started solid.
And it's veered off
course.
How do you mistake a service station for a golf course? Or a golf course for a service station?
What's Mexican handbags?
Well, the old Mexican handbags. Let's have the music. It's coming. No, it's not. Billy's panicking.
Oh, this is a great shame. Oh. I mean, tell me what the feature is.
It's just, you just say the old.
Right.
You name a place.
Yeah.
And then you say a thing.
Oh, okay.
And they'll just self-explanatory.
The old Ipswich wigwam.
Exactly, yeah, that okay. kind of thing.
So, this is from that? Daniel Furnell.
Right, I'm with you.
He says, have you ever had the old Luton Shandy?
What's no. that?
When you're in a dodgy club or pub and a leak from the broken air conditioning drips into your pint.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that is disappointing.
That is.
Really
I've got one
bad
here.
On a night bus.
I've got one here from Dan Smith. Yeah. This is the Wandsworth Whisper. Almost silently including the skinny part of your order in a coffee shop.
This is John Seller. The old Beijing speed dial.
What's that?
Reeling off a series of well-rehearsed dish numbers without referring to a menu.
Oh, because you're used to it, yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, on Wagamama's, you only get 42. Like, no one gets anything else in that. They only cook one thing.
What is the 42?
Oh, I don't know, some noodles and stuff.
Katsu curry.
Yeah, I think so.
I've got one from Nick Doherty. The old Margate degustation. A Kellogg's variety pack. It's quite a good one.
This is from David Vincent, who says, I saw Barry McGuigan in a service station buying a shirt near Birmingham. I mean, it's not related at all.
It isn't. I've got a couple of those. Paul Byrne. I met the then England cricket captain, Nasser Hussain, at a garage on the A1 near Peterborough. Had a chat as we filled up. Very nice bloke.
This is a good one for Mark. This is, have you ever met anyone at a service station? This is Steve. Martin Gregory says he met Steve Davis outside the newsagents in Little Hall. Again, not a service station. But Steve Davis bought 9 packets of Panini stickers off me for £1 in 1980.
Wow.
So you get 9. There were 12p a pack when I was about 10.
And must actually, at the same time, then
I got grounded for a week for stealing money from my parents. It was a terrible thing to do. like they'd have they'd hang their coats up, and I'd fish in their pockets for like pound coin. And you know, when you're like 10, a pound coin is like treasure.
Yeah. Do you think your dad was calling about that?
Maybe. Well, no, they found out because they grounded me for a week. But. I remember then I'd get to the shop with like £3 coins and buy
all Panini.
So many Panini stickers, because I couldn't get Chris Waddle. I was desperate for Chris Waddle. But the foolish part of me thought, where can I go?
There's the title of your autobiography. Desperate for Chris Waddle.
I was like, where can I go?
Are you desperate for Waddle?
Where can I go to open these packets of stickers?
In secret, yeah.
And I went to my parents' bedroom.
the scene of the crime.
That's where it fell apart.
And there was litter everywhere.
Panini
litter
everywhere, ripped up, you know, just throwing, you know, Mark Falco everywhere because, anyway, right, it's time for our predictions.
It is.
Right, which is exciting. Currently, the points table, Johnny Vaughan, 1 point. Marvellous. James Brown, 2 points. Gavin Woods, 3 points. The Bench, 1 point. Susan has joined us from The Bench. Hello, Susan.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Nice to meet you.
Susan
yeah,
will
you
fix too. That. Okay. Susan gets it right every
are you good
time
at this?
She does it.
Are you good at this, Susan?
Well, I've been okay, let's say. I've been okay.
Okay, and is that expertise or luck?
I think it's luck.
Okay, really. Okay.
I just quite like doing predictor things, so, you know.
Is Johnny polite to you?
Yeah, he is actually.
Is
yeah,
he?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
he normally polite to the bench?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah
he yeah. is. Okay. Yeah, he normally is a bit. You know, bit
he is polite when he's not motor mouthing.
Okay. Yeah.
And at what point is that exactly?
That's a good point.
Okay, right. Let's start off with these predictions. Yeah. We'll start in the Crystal Palace v Arsenal tomorrow, 1:30, live and exclusive national radio commentary on Talk Sport. I get to fill this here. We'll start with you, the bench.
1-1.
You're going 1-1. Okay. Gavin?
I'm going with my heart, 1-2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you actually believe that?
I'm kind of with Susan.